You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Paul Ganega. Paul, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks very much for having me.
Paul, let's talk about what you're working on now. What's happening at the moment? What are you involved in terms of projects?
Okay, well, I think the major project I'm working on right now is a multimedia theater piece called Paging Dr. Faustus, which actually I've been working on off and on with the composer and documentary filmmaker Patty Stotter, Patricia Stotter, for 10 years, actually. And it started off as a straight play, and it actually started off when St. Vincent's Hospital in New York was about to fold. We came up with this idea of setting or retelling the Faust story in a hospital, with our Faust being the CEO of a failing hospital. That had sort of a life of its own. We did a couple of readings at NYU, but it really wasn't working as a straight play. And so what we did was we sort of chopped it up and fragmented it and made it much more surreal, really, absurdist in a lot of ways. And things started clicking then. We got involved with a wonderful director, a visual artist, painter, and actress by the name of Mary Chang, who I think you might know, actually. And a visual artist by the name of Elise Tock. And we started working with them and with a vet activist and artist by the name of Mark Pinto, who's out on the West Coast. In any case, we did a stage reading of this sort of new surreal Faustus at a place called 5 Miles Gallery in Brooklyn in April, just this past April, and that went really nicely. We learned a lot. We went back to the script and did some revisions, and are sort of looking now to whatever the next stages of development are. So we're sort of at the point of reconnoitering and looking forward to further development.
That's exciting. Let's talk more about that, because I mean, this is a project that's, you're saying, spanning 10 years now in development, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. You know, and there's it's obviously a large collaboration. It's evolved.
Sort of organically. But one of the things that happened was Patty Stotter became very much involved with women vets. She and a documentary filmmaker named Marshall Rock, who I think heads the grad documentary program at NYU, started working with women vets, and they came up with a documentary called "Service," when women come marching home, which went on to win an Emmy and had sort of a wonderful life on its own, and then. We looked at our Faustus script and realized that what we really wanted to talk about was the issue of returning vets and the kind of service they do not get when they return home, the kind of care they do not get. And so rather than talking in general about the failures of the healthcare system, we became much more involved with vet issues. So the focus itself, while continuing with this Faust retelling, really switched into something very different.
That's interesting. So that is a big switch, because now we're talking about
I mean, vets, which also involves, of course, mental health and the healthcare system, but it's quite different than the initial impulse of what it means for a hospital to close. It's related to that, but the issue seems much more, that seems almost like an activist agenda initially, though that maybe I'm misstating that, but now it's one of empathy is mental health okay to say? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the piece now is set in the psychiatric ward of a vet hospital, so it very much deals with issues of sanity and insanity, and including within that the insanity of war in general. So it brings up very different and larger issues than I think we were first looking at when we started this so many years ago.
So part of your work is also researching those issues. Is that part of what you're involved in at this stage? I mean, you're obviously in this writing and rewriting, but are you involved in more research on the issue of
we really
returning?
Have been using a lot of the oral testimony that Patty was able to get when she was working on the service project with Marshall Rock, and I've done some more research. Actually, you know, it comes in amazing ways. I'll give one little anecdote. A friend of mine was visiting from Boston, and her father had been a writer for the Washington Post, and she, for out of the blue, I mean, with no knowledge of what I was doing, had come in with articles that he had written about the last boat that was sunk by the Japanese during World War II, and the story of the skipper of that boat who was not aboard when it went down, and the kind of mental anguish he went through for many, many years until finally he committed suicide, which of course is a major issue with our vets. So that story has now become part of our Faustus script. So research has come from, you know, in many different areas, and actually this is an example where research came to me rather than my going out and finding it.
That's fascinating. And this is, of course, this is difficult material. I mean, this is, you know, you're saying you're bringing it into more surreal elements, but we're also dealing with tough material, suicide and mental health. Paging Dr. Faustus now literally has a kind of different meaning. Initially, in the context of, you know, paging Dr. Faustus sounds like something you'd hear in the hospital, and of
right.
course has the irony to it. But now it's quite a bit different, really, right? We're talking about something that's I don't know if evil is the right word, but something much more insidious. This idea of war and vets and mental health.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's an absurdist quality to the script too. Part of it is written in elevated language, in rhyme actually, and there are scenes between our Faust and our two demons. One, of course, Mephistopheles; the other, Beelzebub. Which are kind of darkly comic. So they're really wide swings of mood in this piece as well.
And what is the next? So, what is the next step? You're working on it, and what
we're actually we're looking for the right venue to develop it further. We have a I don't know if this group of actors will follow us. Most of them had been involved in the earlier readings at NYU, but they're much in demand. So you know, there's no saying that they'll continue with us. We certainly hope so. But we need a place to further work on the visuals, on the music. You know, my chief collaborator, Patty, is a composer, and she worked closely with a guy named Don Rebick, who's a legend, particularly in Broadway theater, etc. And we need space and money, of course. We need somebody to.
Well, that's critical, of course. So you know, especially in theater and in collaborative work, what is the process for that? Because funding is critical. It's not as fun as all the rest. But how does something like this potentially get funded?
Yeah, well, we're looking at it. We have a list which we're winnowing down now of potential grant sources for something like this, and we're, you know, cautiously optimistic. We'll see what happens. We've had offers of spaces for development, and that's great, but we need more than that. You know, we need real support at this point.
So that's of course very important. And the readings, you're continuing to do the readings, or is it in its final stages at this point?
Right now, we're taking a break from that. Actually, we don't have a next reading planned yet. I think our next step will for the chief collaborators. Mary Chang and Elise Tock and Patty and us, and myself, I mean, need to get together. And we haven't really had an opportunity to talk through all that we learned and thought about after the April reading. So we need to do that. I guess I don't know if this is relevant, but I wound up with a case of pneumonia right afterwards and landed in the hospital. So things are a little bit on, you know, delayed in terms of follow up.
Sure, sure. Well, glad you're feeling better.
Yeah.
That's health always disrupts things. I'm glad we talked about this. Is there anything else that you're working on that you want to mention? Is there poems you're writing or anything else that's happening?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind bringing that up. I had a book that came out last year called Sculling on the Leafy, which came out from Salmon Poetry. I don't know if you know it, but it's a huge Irish press with a big international reach. And I'm about to sign a contract for a new chapbook, which will be out sometime in the next year, I hope, or this year, late.
And talking about that new chapbook, what will be in that? Is there a theme to that, or that collection? Or?
Well, the last book, the Lethe book, was very much focused on myth and myth making. Personal, classical, American, and this, the poems in this chapbook draw more on the landscape. There are a number of ekphrastic poems, working with the art of Seurat, Whistler, Morrison Hartley, and because of the times we're living in, there's a more overt political dimension to some of the poems as well. So that's another thing I'm working on, obviously, my own work. And then I've been involved with a group called Arts by the People, which comes out of New Jersey, and which fosters collaboration between dancers, writers, poets, musicians. I just did a performance with a funk fusion band called Juicy Connotation, who are out of Rochester, and completed a project where called Moving Words, which connects young Israeli artists and American writers to produce short animations. So that got completed. That was last year, actually. But that was great fun. That was a really great opportunity.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So there's collaboration. I mean, obviously not so much in the chat book that's coming up, and there'll be links to your books in this interview, but the process of collaboration seems consistent for you, whether it's musicians or other artists.
Yeah, I love that. Over the years, some of my favorite things have been collaboration with artists. I did a portfolio back in the 80s with an artist named Aaron Fink, who is out of Boston. And that was great fun, and we had great success with that, and wound up landing in the collections at the National Gallery and Boston Museum, and actually Yale just received it, just took it as a gift, and collaboration with I'm going back in time. You don't mind, do you?
That's fine. Yeah,
with a group called the Atlanta Robotics Theater Company, which was out of the University of Southern California, which turned one of my poems into a robotics theater piece that then went on tour in Italy and Germany and places in the U.S. That was late 90s, early 2020s. So, I mean, this idea of collaborating has been, tremendously important to me. I think, the kind of feeding you can do off of in different art forms is really terrific.
It sure is. Well, I want to thank you for talking with me, but I want to ask you one more question. What are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading two young gay poets that I really adore, as different as different could be. One is Sam Sachs, and the other is Chen Chen. And they're both very much worth reading, and terrific young voices. And I've been going through Carol Ann Duffy's collected poems, which I really, really love, especially her persona poems, which I think are really super. So those are what I've been delving into right now.
Paul, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.